But I turn it on. Oh, here you go. I just did that because I want to know if you guys are on top of things. It is just a test. Every time I come up here, I will test you. And the Lord will test you too. Amen. Thank you for coming to church. I know I don't have to thank you, but, you know, what other place you want to rather be this morning but in church? But we are glad and we are honored that, you know, that we are here. And more than that, we are honored that he will honor us with his presence. Amen. I mean, so this morning you are being honored. So we love God and we thank him for everything that he has done. Well, I have a lot on my fork this morning. Of course, I'm not the sharpest fork in the shed. I'm missing a few teeth, but so you try to take something and something falls. Well, okay. Those are, you know, leftovers for whoever. Just like that lady, that sister said that in the Bible, you know, even the dog eat the, you know, drops that drop. So, hey, I didn't mean that to anybody. I'm just saying, you know, that's what the Bible was saying. Amen. So let us read one scripture here. And let's get moving. So pray, continuous pray for our brother Doug, your pastor, my pastor. That's what I tease my brother sometimes. When I call my brother back in Puerto Rico, I say, how is your mother? And he said, no, it's yours. No, it's your mother. Your pastor. It's our pastor. Amen. So, third epistle of John 1:2. It says, beloved, I wish above all things. Now, he said a lot of things before prior to this, to coming to this, you know, conclusion. But he said, above all that I told you, and you can go back and read, he says, one thing, that thou may prosper and be in health. Now, that's a conjunction, not only to prosper, but in health. Because what good is to prosper if you are sick and you can do nothing with all that you have? So God will do both ends. He will prosper you one way, but also give you the health, you know, to use that prosperity. Of course, to help others. It says, even as thy soul prospereth. So it gives you more than define where the prosperity is going to come from. See, it's not from the world, it's not from me, not from you, but from the soul. That's what God is. Amen. Because the soul is the seat of the heart. So whatever is in your soul, it controls your heart. And when it controls your heart, it controls your body. So if you're prospering in your soul, then everything else line up with that. And we're going to talk about all these things this morning. Amen. I know that a lot of people do not like to preach in prosperity. I haven't heard many message believers. Not that they haven't, but I haven't heard. Because prosperity has a bad rap, you know. Right. You know, this prosperity gospel, you know, are there. But, hey, if there's a counterfeit, right, there has to be a real one. Sure. So I don't have the right to preach on the real one. They can do what they want, but there's a real prosperity. Sure. And I want to look at it. Also because God put it in my heart. Amen. Amen. Not for you to give more. And this is not a tithing or offering. Preaching. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy in our life. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for you blessing us, providing for us. You keep us, you protect us, Father. Father, of course, we need you this morning, but if we have you, we have everything that we have need this morning. Father, because you are the one that supply all needs. So if we have you, we have everything we desire, Father. We don't have to look no other place, and no other man, and no other thing can satisfy our heart but you this morning, Father. Because you know what we have need this morning. Amen. We need you, Lord. And we ask you to come in a gentle way this morning. Let your spirit permeate. Let your spirit move, Father. Let your spirit speak to the hearts of your children, Father. You know what you prepared this morning for them, Father. because it's not me. I will put myself aside. You take this vessel, Father, and you use it for your honor this morning and your glory. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. 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 You can be seated. So let's start from the definition of prosperity. So we can be in the same sheet of paper. So the definition that I got from Strong's concordance, it says, to grant a prosperous and a speedious journey. So prosperous and a speedy, quickly, you know, speedily journey. And that's what Romans 1:10 support this definition. It says, making requests, this is Paul talking, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. But also, this can translate in the journey that we're on in life. See? It's not a journey in the natural, but this journey has to be also prosperous. God will prosper us in this journey as he will prosper Paul, as he says, in the natural. It goes together, you know? Because God is the one that do everything. It's his will. So if you want God to prosper your trip, you know, that's why we ask for prayer. And people ask, pray for me. I'm going to China, whatever, you know. That God will prosper my trip. So we always pray also that God will prosper our journey, our life, as we walk in this journey that God has called us to walk. So then second, it says, to be successful. And says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, and that there may be no gathering when I come. So Paul is suggesting, okay, you that have more, God has blessed some more than others. And that's what Brother Doug was talking. Some more smarter than others smarter. We always have poor people. We always have rich people. Maybe you're not rich. Maybe you're not poor. Maybe you're in the middle. But God, you know, decided that. I don't decide that. So some can give more and some can give less. But nevertheless, the point is, if God has prospered you, you know, bring. So we have enough. When we have the special meetings, we don't have to be begging or asking. You know, just bring whatever you have. So now, it is not that God loves the people that bring more or bring less. Because he says he will bless the cheerful giver, the grateful giver. So it's not how much you give, it's how you give it. So he's saying just store these things. And you that can do, do. And you cannot, you know, don't worry about it. Because I love you just as much. Giving has nothing to do. See, God gave you more than for you to help more. For those that have less. The problem was one time Paul called the attention to the Corinthians, because when they have communion, when the one that have more, they get it, it's like a potluck, they come to eat for communion, right? And drink the wine. But the one that have will bring. And the one that they haven't have a decent meal because they're poor, they come to eat and drink. And Paul said, don't come to the communion to eat and drink. Because that was what was happening. Who knows when they had the last meal or good meal. So they say, oh, we're going to cabbage down until the next communion. No. So the attitude has to do a lot with the giving as well. When we come together, you know, what is your mental attitude? Do you think we all use something? Or no. Or just because that have more and I have less, I should get some. That's not the attitude. God has set everything up. And let's be happy and content in whatever place we find ourselves. Amen. Amen. So, successful. Now the third one said, to lead or guide by direct and easy way. To lead and guide. And that's what the Comforter was sent for. To lead us and to guide us. Right? In an easy way. And there are only one way. And that's Jesus. He says, I am the way. And it's an easy way. You can have your way or you can have his way. I already tried that. It was difficult. Messed it up. But his ways are better than my way. And it's easy because he says, take my yoke that is light and easy. So, also being, successful, you know, prosperity is letting the Holy Ghost have your way in your heart. Christ, you know, is the way, and it's the easy way. Amen. So we can prosper if we just remember that in everything that we do, we have to honor God. I don't care, money, no money, poor, walk, it is God in your life. It is the will of God. And you have to realize that it's the will of God. It's not the will of man that you are in the situation you are or in the, you know, status that you are. Just be a blessing, right? So I like the last one because John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, and you know this one, which is the Holy Ghost, and he's our tutor, right? He says, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Teach you, direct you. He shall lead you, he says. So as long as you reach and you have the Holy Ghost and you poor have the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter. You got the same teacher. And he lead us in different ways. So we don't have to be, you know, like proud or be, that word that I'm looking for, jealous of what somebody else has. Because you have only thing that you can handle, I'll tell you this morning. You think you can handle more. Just be glad that you don't have no more. Because the more you have, the more responsibility comes with. The more you know, the more responsibility in that day, the more accountable you're going to be. So just don't give me too much so I won't, you know, go astray. But don't give me nothing so I will not murmur and complain. Because that's what David said. Not too rich and not too poor. Just so I cannot forget about you and not curse you. So you are in the right place. So praise God and pray and give him thanks for what you got. Amen. Because you got what you can handle. Let everybody else handle their portion. You handle your portion. And you be glad. To your remembrance, whatsoever have I said unto you. Amen. So that is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that comes to our life. And is the one that forms your heart. Shape your heart. You know, like Jeremiah said, you know, or Ezekiel, one of those, he says, God will take that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Because in the world we had a stone heart. Nothing goes in, nothing goes out. My way and no way, nothing. Nobody could tell me anything. See? But God had to change that heart, and he did form it and gave me a heart of flesh. Now I can love myself and I can love somebody else. Before I didn't care. Me is first and second and third. See? So once the Holy Ghost comes in our life and he transforms our minds too. You know, the spirit is the mind of the body. You know, the body, those five senses of the spirit. Conscience, mind, imagination, so on and so on. Reasoning. It becomes under control of that heart. Of that soul, because now the soul is in control, and it starts taking control of your mind, and it starts transforming your mind. You don't think the way you used to think before. You don't do the things you used to do before. And finally, your body has to conform to your mind, and to your spirit, and to your heart. Another way, fruit has to come out. You know, some people say, it doesn't matter what I do, it's just what is in my heart. Well, that's what is in your heart, that what comes out in your body. Can change that. See? So, changes. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit came to change me completely. Amen. As we saw that song this morning, you know, he has changed me. Amen. This morning. And I'm so glad because I can now see his word. Now, like I said, the fourth one is the one that I read you. John 3:12. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and in health even as your soul prosper. Now, that is how you grow, flourish spiritually. And that's the one that I want to attack. You know, I don't care about having much money. I don't care about having no money. I just care about what's going on in there. Because I want to please God. Amen. So he says, this is how we grow spiritually. And of course, you know, Ephesians 4:12-14 says that that's what is the fivefold ministry is here for. And the gifts are in the church. To what? To bring you to what? To perfection. So you can grow and be mature. So this prospering has something to do with maturity and growth and perfection. Because if we are prospering, then that means it has to show. It has to show in our life that we are growing. You know, a little baby grows every day, every day. I go to visit my grandchildren. And every time I see them, they were here last year, now they're here. My first one, Isabel, she's 17 yesterday. Man, where did the years went, you know? And she was just a little baby the other day. Now she's 17. She's getting old. I'm not. She's getting old. Man, and that's the way it happens in the natural. But sometimes you have a 40-year-old baby. They don't want to grow. That's worse than having, you know, a teenager, having someone that is 40 and is still acting like a baby. And complaining and murmuring. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do this. You know, that's worse. Because, I mean, there's no growth. Because as you grow physically, you have to grow also mentally. You have to grow spiritually. Because that is how it's said. You know, the more you grow, the more understanding, the more information, the more preaching. Something has to happen. Unless you're going to stay like a midget. And then you can have something to say, well, yeah, I don't grow, so nothing else grows. You know? Anyway. Prospering. Spiritually. Flourishing. Just like your body in the natural. Also, your mind, and also spiritually, we have to prosper. So that means what I'm saying is you cannot be the same person that you were yesterday. Right. Or the week before. Or the week before. Doing the same thing. Nothing. You know what? That's the definition of insanity. We heard it. Doing the same thing and expecting different what? Changes. If nothing changed, I'll be worried. And I'll be worried about myself because God cannot fail me. He says he will change me. The world will shape me and mold me and transform me. So if I'm not moving forward in him, something is wrong and it's not him. He cannot fail his word. Brother Branham says the seed is not air with the shock. He says, oh God, I will pray. He's praying for help. Knowing the responsibility and what it means. You and I, we have a responsibility this morning. Not to me, not to church, not to God. So, and what it means, and what I must answer in the day of judgment. All right, so it says, for all that I said here and elsewhere, help me to be what? Deadly sincere. That means you die to everything else. And you let God do on your life. Deadly sincere. Lord, with all that I do, not just with some things, with all that I do or say in thy word. What that is might bring forward what? Fruit. So if we're doing what God asks us to do, we have to bring fruit. We have to grow. We have to mature, right? He said, for as you commission was, let not this word depart from thy mouth, but meditate there day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that written in the law. And then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous. This is the kind of prosperous I'm talking about. And then thou shalt have good what? Success. You want to be successful? Then do everything that God tells you to do. I mean, have not I commanded thee be strong and be courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee in whatsoever thou goest. So God is the one that will make you. He will give you the will and the do. For his is hard. So it is not you working something out. We just follow him. We just follow his word. We do. And he take out the rest of it. Because he is the one that's going to bring that to an accomplishment. That he's going to bring that to a realization in your life. But we have to do the our part. And our part is to be responsible. So We also know that prosperity is progressive, you know. Unless you're born with a silver spoon in your hand, you know, all grown and you know, people are born in rich homes and they're already successful. But we're not talking about that successful. We all have to progress to that prosperity. Prosper as your soul prosper. That's progressive. So nobody's going to be born and I got it all. I don't need anything. You still need to grow. Amen. And God has a plan for you and God has a process. And you, things that you go through may be a little different than the things that I go through, but God knows what he needs to do in my life to bring about what he has already spoken. And he will do it to you too. Maybe I don't go through the things you go through, but I'm going through my own tests and to my own things, process. So just because this is not a cookie cutter thing, you know, we're all doing the same thing. No. We are going through different things, but God has in his mind, he has a what? An end to it, you know, for your life and for your life and for my life. He just go different ways sometimes. Sometimes similar, sometimes the same, but not always. Sometimes we go through our own circumstances, situations. We go through our own tests because God will test you. So you know that you know that you know that you believe God. So it's progressive. So because this process, this work is designed for you to prosper under what his direction and his supervision. But you cannot blame anybody. We are doing the best we can to preach the gospel, to preach the prosperity, to preach the word of God. You know? And you have to do your best to receive it and do what? And act upon that word. I cannot make you. My responsibility to stand this morning and tell you what God said. And your responsibility to see what are you going to do with it. You want to grow? Then you have to do something with it. I bet you if I give you some menudo and some bread, you eat it, right? And you grow. But if you don't want what I give you to eat, you will not grow. Spiritually, it's the same thing. If we resent, then you come into church just for what? Just to hear a good sermon? But I hate to disappoint you. I'm not a good preacher. So if you don't hear from him, you wasted your time. But I know you're not wasting your time. You're going to hear from God because that's what you came for. So if you're going to hear from God, then do what God tells you to do. Not what me. I don't even know where you are. Spiritually, I don't know. He knows everything. Galatians 18:19. For I know him that he will command his children's command. You know, I command you to obey. See? The Bible says that the 11 commandments, love one another, that wasn't an option. That was a command. An option is when you buy a car and you don't want air condition. That's terrible to do it here in Tucson. You want air condition. But before, when I was growing up, the cars were either standard or automatic. But if you didn't have the money for the automatic, you just go ahead. I don't want that option. You don't have no option when it comes to God. You have to be committed completely. If you're going to come in, come with all your heart, not halfway. We don't do halfway in here. There's a halfway house somewhere, but not here. This is not a halfway house. Either you in or either you out. And I'm not saying that. God is saying that. Because God is a jealous God and he won't take half-half. I give you half today, Lord, and the other half, you no. You do or you don't. So, command his children and his household after him. And then he's talking about Abraham, actually. See, he's talking that Abraham know him and he will command his children. And the only reason Abraham will do that is because that's what God required from him. Command his households and his children and they shall keep the way of the Lord. So that is our responsibility as parents and mothers is to bring our child in the way they should go, you know, in the word. Train your child in the way they should go and they will never depart. Abraham was going to do that. God knew that. You don't think God knows what your intentions are tonight, this morning? Sitting here looking at me, kind of funny. God knows what is in your heart, He knows why you even come to church. Do you know why you come? He knows everything. He says, And they shall keep the way of the Lord to the justice, to do justice and judgment, to do the right things, to think the right thing and do the right things. See? That the Lord may bring Abraham, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has what? Spoken unto who? Did God spoke to you this morning? Did God spoke to you yesterday? Did God spoke to you when you was in the world? Now you're sitting here all cleaned up and full with the Holy Spirit. Did he spoke to you that? But who brought it to pass? You couldn't even do it. I tried. I couldn't. I even, one time I took the Bible because I was raised the right way. I just departed from that. And I took the Bible and I was so tired of everything. I was tired of living. I was tired of eating. I was tired of running or drinking, carousing, whatever. Until one day I said, you know, I remember what my mom teaching were, my grandmother. So I took the Bible and I started reading. I didn't go out. I didn't drink. I didn't curse. I didn't do anything. I read my Bible. I read my Bible. And you know how long that lasts me? 3 months. I was kidding. No, I mean, 3 months is a long time. But I kept myself from doing anything for 3 months. But you think that helped me? Because that was me doing things.
Right.
See? I went back to my old life. Why? It wasn't nothing to hold me. It was nothing. The Spirit of God. I mean, I had the Word, but the Word without the Spirit, it killed you. But he says, what I have spoken to Abraham, he says, I will bring it to pass. I will bring it to realization. I will bring it, you know, I will perform that in Abraham. You don't have to worry this morning. If you love God and you do what God asks you to do and you're responsible, you don't have to quit anything. You don't have to do anything because God knows you. And his word is powerful enough to change you and to take away your desire and to take away your sin and to do everything. God's word is powerful to change your life and my life. And Abraham says, so Abraham, God knew what he was going to do. He knows your heart. The reason I'm here is because he knew my heart. I didn't know my heart, so I didn't know who I was. And I kept doing the things that I thought I was, but I wasn't. But he knew who I was, and I'm glad that he gave me a chance. He gave me a chance not because I deserve a chance, it's because he already knew me. And he knew he was not going to lose me. But I didn't know that. See? I was just trying to have a religion at one point. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith. So God is going to give you, and God is going to bring to accomplishment that end according to your faith. This morning I'm trying to introduce, going a little further, where your faith is looking at. Whatever your faith is looking at, that is what is going to happen. Okay, he says, bringing, he says, receiving the end of your faith. Because prospering is what that is. He says, we're going to tie it together, receiving the end of your faith, even, see, the salvation of your soul. You are committed, you know, you're committed to God, your soul. So he's more than able to bring it to what? To a completion, to save you. But that's not the only thing. That's he will do. Well, tonight, this morning is what you should be doing. I should be doing. So, receiving the end of your faith. Now, here. So, for the accomplishment of the end of your faith for which God created you. Okay? Now, this is not a mystery, no. God is not playing little secret with you because you know where you're going. You know who you are, you know where you're going, and you know what God wants to do with you. Let's not play ignorant because ignorance is no longer accepted. We know too much. So you know where you were and you know where you're going now. And he's more than able to do it. So receiving the end of your faith. Now, Mary says, you know, do unto me when the angel came to her. right? Appear to her. And he said, you will have a baby, blah, 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 blah. Finally, she went to the natural side. Said, but I don't have a husband. How are you going to do this? Because that's all we know. So the angel said, this is what's going to happen. You shall conceive from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what did she say? Do unto me. Accomplish that in me that you have said. See, and this should be also our cry. Lord, do unto me. Whatever you have spoken in heaven, finish it here in earth in me. Whatever that part that you have for me. That should be our cry. You know, not taking it so lightly every Sunday, every Wednesday, you know. I'm going to get to it. Not yet. I'm going to preach in a minute. Receiving the end of your faith. So when you come through those doors, you need to know what is the end of your faith. Because how can you receive something that you don't know what it is? How can you receive something that you cannot perceive it in the word or in your mind what it is? God don't work that way. Because if it were that way, one day he do something and tomorrow do something else and I go, surprise! I didn't know you were going to do that. You know, I know exactly what God wants me, where he's taking me and what he's going to do with me. That's what this message came to do. To introduce me to him. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith. See, Mary says, realize in me, you know, do in me, manifest in me what you just have spoken. If that's the kind of reality when we come to church and we hear the word, and we say, Lord, do unto me what I just heard. Not everything that I'm preaching is going to belong to one person, but whatever you get. God knows what you need this morning. That part, tell the Lord, I don't want to be a hearer. You need to bring that to completion in my life. You gave me a revelation. I see what you're saying. Now, I trust you that you're going to bring it to pass. Jeremiah 29:11. Continuing looking at the end of our faith. For I know the thought that I think towards you. He knows you. Before you were born, in the womb, he knows before you was conceived, he knows you, he knows me. He says, that I think towards you, he says, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. Let me make a statement here and I'm going to finish. God is a God of peace, right? That's what he says. Not a God of evil. So if you're not at peace, what is the problem? That is not God. I mean, I'm too simple or what? I'm not a complicated guy. If your life is not at peace, it's in turmoil, so where's the solution? Because either is peace or evil. Either evil will torment you or God will give you peace. You have a choice this morning. He says, I know these thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you now your expected end. So my other question will be, what are you expecting to this morning from God? Did you come through the door with an expectation? For whatever expectation you came, you're going to get it, good, bad, or ugly. Okay, I know it's getting, you know, heavy now. So, I will give you an expected end. And your expected end is where your faith is looking to that end. It's both the same. God give you the faith, and also because faith is not yours, a gift of God. But God also tell you, this is what you need to look at. Because this is what I'm expecting of you, but I'm going to do this, but don't worry. Your faith is looking to that. What is your faith looking at? Expectation. Listen, there are different expectations. Hebrew 11:1. It says, by faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The things hoped for. See? Our outcome are things that we not seen, but we are looking at it by faith. We are reaching out there. You know, we are reaching by faith in who I am. I know who I am, and I know what's going to happen at the end of this journey. No, it's going to be a change of a body. My faith looks to the end, to what I'm hoping for. Faith is the hope of things. So my hope is in God and what he's done for me and what he is going to accomplish in me. And looking at that, he said he would change his body. See? So I'm looking at the unseen. Because God had opened my eye to see the unseen. See? What he wants me to see. Are you sick? Well, what is your hope? What are you looking? You're looking at a sick body or you're looking at a body that is completely in health? Like you said, in health. See, because whatever you're looking at, that's your expectation. And some people are nearsighted sometimes. Anyway, he says, so peace and evil, your expectation says, now, but faith is the substance, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. Your faith is the evidence. See? That's when people say, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better than you. I mean, at my age, I'm feeling better than you at your age. Why? Because that's what I'm looking at. Physically, in health. God is your healer. And if he says he's going to prosper you in health, I'm a minister. How good we got to call a minister to preach the gospel and I cannot even walk, you know, or cripple or cannot even hold myself and I have the strength. God don't make those kind of mistakes. Now, God can send that for a test to see what I'm looking at. But in my 40 years, you know, in this gospel, I'm preaching everywhere and doing things, you know, I've been in good health. Because what good it is for God to send me to Mexico, then I get, you know, a case of dysenteria, whatever you call that, diarrhea, that's the vulgar term, and I can do my job, or his job that he sent me to do. So God will give you and keep you. If he sends you, he can keep you. And that's how I've been my life completely. Not that I'm a special guy. Because I had my fights and my dealings with this body as well. But God has always been faithful. The reason I'm standing here this morning, because God is faithful. When he said, I want you to prosper, your health prosper, because I need you for work. Well, some people get sick all the time, and that's the excuse not to come. But just look at what God is expecting from you and claim what is yours. God, you said, and I got a headache, and I have a migraine, but I'm going to church, and before I left church, I forgot it. When I went inside, I forgot about it. I was feeling so good. Anyway, I could have taken a couple of pills, but this morning, last night, yesterday, I had a headache all day. I get this migraine. You know, it's just the time of the season. But I said, I'm not taking anything. So it went off last night, you know. I don't feel it this morning. Because God knows I had to preach. There is nothing in myself. It's just God knows that. Hebrews 1, faith is the substance. Now, Romans 8, 19, 20. For the earnest expectation... Earnest means the sincere. Your brother Brian said deadly sincere. Of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. I mean, the whole creation knows better than you because they're waiting for you. I mean, those little dogs that I got, two puppies, and you know, every time that they get sick or they get a pokey, they run to me. Because I train them to come to me. And I hold them, and I have to fight with them, and I get my pliers, and my wife, we hold them, and I take the little thing out. Or sometimes they start choking with something, I open their mouth, stick my finger, and I take it out. They don't bite me because they know what I'm doing. I'm not going to harm them. But see, they know you're the boss. You're the boss of me. You're the Son of God. I'm expecting, I'm waiting for the manifestation. You need to pray for me when I get sick. In fact, how many of you pray for the doggy food before you give it to the dogs? You don't? I do. I don't want them to get sick. And they're looking up to me to take care of these guys. And that's just dogs. What about our families? What about children? But the creation, the trees, you know those trees are waiting for you. See, when you come into church, you don't hear those trees moving when you go by. Like, hey, get in the ball. Let's go. I'm waiting for you. No, you don't think those guys, they talk. God created the whole creation. So if that creation out there is looking for you, for your manifestation, what about you? What are you looking for this morning? It says, earnest and the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. It wasn't, you know, Adam's fault. It wasn't Eve's fault. It wasn't your fault. Well, we are paying for the fall, but it wasn't our fault. It was that he subject ourselves to vanity for a reason. See? So he can redeem us. So he knows, so you can know that he's a savior, that you know that he's a healer. He was God. He has attributes, but he allowed this, but he held you to vanity. For what? So he can show you the power of God and who you are. He says, creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. See? It wasn't there when Adam fell. But what do I have to do with that? That wasn't my fault, but I'm paying for it. He says, not willingly, but the reason of him who has subject the same into what? Into hope. See, and our faith look to that hope to be redeemed. See, quickly. He says, Philippians 1:20, according to the earnest expectation and my hope. Now there's both of them, faith and expectation. Faith looks at that hope and expectation. That is nothing I shall be ashamed. So Paul is saying, I don't want to shame this gospel. I don't want to reproach in the gospel. See? Because that is my desire, expectation, and my hope, my faith. He says, and now, Lord, help me that I don't bring shame to this message. See? I hope that's your prayer. But that's my prayer. I don't want to do something that will be a reproach to somebody else and not come to this message. He says, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. So what was the expectation? What was the end result of his faith and his expectation? Christ lived in him. His expectation was not him, but Christ in me. I don't want people to see Eli. I want people to see Christ in my doings, in my talking, in my walking, in my dealings. Because that is what he promised. I know what he promised. I know his expectation is that he's going to have a group, a bride, that will be Christ in flesh again. The manifestation, the mystery. So you know that already. So try to live a life that you will not be ashamed to what you believe, and you're telling everybody that you believe. They always ask me, my family, they want to do something always in Sundays. Because, you know, they're Catholic, nothing against that, but they can go to church on Saturday. And they did that so they can, you know, have their Sundays. So I said, if you don't do anything on Sundays, I'm not going. You know that already. Because my face is looking to something else. And that thing over there, as good as it is, family and everything, that is not going to bring me to my expectation. This is what's going to bring me to my expectation, right here, right now. You know, in his presence. He says, whatever it be, by life or death, so it doesn't matter. I want God to magnify in my life, either dead or alive. When I die, that will people know, you know, that I can manifest in death. See? And not only dead physically. Don't we supposed to be dying every day? That the death is talking about also. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is the prosperity journey that I'm talking about. You have to die slowly so he can what? Increase. The whole journey of prospering is I die, flesh, he increases. He increases, right? I decrease, he increase. See? So when that starts happening, you're going to see things in your journey. Because it's not only you now. That's not you. It is him in you. Increasing, increasing, increasing until you, well, Brother Branham, He increased to the point that they thought he was the Christ. And they started worshiping Brother Branham. Nobody has asked me if I'm the Christ yet. That's an honor. Also was a determined. He said, don't do that. But that is what we, you and I, are in expectation. To see the manifestation of him in this flesh. If you have another expectation, I don't know what it is. Because that's the only thing that I'm looking at. Because he called me. He chose me. He foreknew me. He predestinated me for what? For that reason. There's no other reason. It says over here, crucified, says, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, he says in Galatians 2:20, I live. He says, I skip Philippians 1:21, but do you know how to go back? For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. So he says, now I'm crucified with Christ. And you and I, he says, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you know, you have to die to yourself. Crucify your daily human flesh. Every day we have to do that. He said, Christ, nevertheless I live, but hey, he died in the cross. The body is gone, Jesus Christ, but I'm still here and he's still living. Where? Yet not, but Christ lives in where? In me. So what kind of a life we should be living? His life, because mine is dead. His life. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith on the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, it is not me, it is him in me. That is the kind of life that I want to walk. Surrender to his word and do exactly everything that he asked me to do, even though if I don't understand it. Listen, I don't understand all the Bible, but I believe it all. And when I read the Bible, if that's what it says, that's what I do. Why? Because he will never fail me. If he said it, I do it. If he don't say it in the Bible, I don't do it. That's how easy it is. See? Because now God is not dead. Paul said he's alive. Even though he was crucified, he's alive. He's alive in where? In me. So I don't want to see me. I want to see him. I don't want to see you. I want to see him. And I know you have the same sentiment. You want to see Christ manifested in your life. That's why we are doing all these. It might be a burden for a lot of people that have children. I don't have any. I'm done with that. But I know children have to go to school. And I know we preach and I want to have. And I know it's hard on you. But it will be hard on me too. Not now. But that's a burden sometimes that we have to put up with. For what? For the manifestation. See? And I'm sorry ahead of time if I hold you too long, you know. And you get tired. But I had to deliver what I was given. Because he is the one that I had to be accepted. Not you, you know, I don't need you to accept me, but I need him to accept me. What I said and what I do, that be pleasing to him. Amen. So he says, I'm crucified who loved me and gave himself for me. Revelation 1:6. And he had made us king. Okay? We're looking at the expectation of our faith, the end of our faith. He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. For him be glory, dominion forever and ever and ever. And God sent a prophet to show us the mystery of that bride. The mystery of Christ being revealed. That's who you are. See? And I know I'm going to things that you already know. But the mystery of God revealed. See, Jesus was the mystery of God revealed. You are the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. Jesus was God in flesh. And the bride is Jesus in flesh. So that is what we're looking at. That is our end of our faith. That is where we, our expectations should be at. And surrender, do everything so I can prosper my life to get there. Amen. He's going to help me. Now I'm not going to have to make anything. I don't have to do it myself. But I have to sincerely, deadly sincerely, do what his word says to do. Now, again, we've been talking about accountability. Accountability is the state of act looking forward. What are you looking forward this morning? When you came to church, what were you looking forward? It says, Thessalonians 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious glory, the appearing, performing, accomplishing, you know, realizing in my life the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Christ. Where? You know what? You can wait until the end. Maybe you think he has a magic wand and it's going to say, you done. The rapture is on. Now you can be like me. I told you it's a progressive thing. Walk. So either we start acting now. The way we act now is the way we're going to act there. That's not going to change when the rapture is on and somebody's going to go, you done. Now you look like Christ. If we don't look like Christ now, here, yeah, we're not going to make it there. So the appearing says, looking for the blessed hope, and that is my faith, my hope, that's my blessed hope, that I will be like him. See, and glorious. Glorious means his glory. We are going to be glorified. It says we are going to be predestined. We call for and glorify. And to be glorified is to have his glory. See, we're going to talk a little bit about this later. But it's his glory. When you come to church, the Bible says from glory to glory to glory until you finally get the whole glory of God that God has measured for you. See, so it's from glory to glory. God is changing us from glory to glory. And we are prospering as we're changing, right? We're prospering, like I said, we are being blessed. Says realizing of the great God in our salvation, Jesus Christ. Now, instead of looking forward, what are you looking forward this morning? To hear me screaming at you? Now, expectation also deals with anticipation. What are you anticipating after the service? What are you expecting and what are you anticipating? Because you can expect all you want. But if you don't know what you're anticipating and what you're looking at, it will never happen. Because if God talked to you, you expected God to talk to you, then you can anticipate something to happen when you walk to the door. Anticipating says, Peter, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up your loins or your mind. He says, be ready. You know, when they used to be fishermen and they go to fish, they pull up the pant leg and they pull and roll. They got ready for the job, you know. They did not go half, you know, hearted. They just did everything they took to undertake whatever responsibility, whatever job. He said, be sober, clear-headed, restrained, disciplined. See? That's what I mean to be sober. It is to also and hope to the end for the grace. And hope to the end for the grace. By the grace of God, we are going to make it. What I'm hoping for, by the grace of God. He says, that is to be brought into you. Listen to this. That will be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to just soak that up. He didn't say it's going to be brought up at the revelation of Jesus Christ in the rapture. That's not what he's saying. When God revealed himself to you personally, that begins the journey. The journey of you being him, changing your role for his robes. He says, brought unto you. Because what do I need for him to bring me something when he comes? I'm too late. Right now, when you receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, the journey started. The process has started. That's what I'm saying. We are not waiting. We know what's going to happen. And you know, potentially, we already made it. But we have to go through the process of growing, maturing. He says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now remember what that the same words you find them in Revelation, Apocalypse 1:1. Revelation says, the revelation of Jesus Christ says, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant the things which most surely come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel, and we know God sent us an angel, a messenger, to what? To reveal us what God revealed to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ revealed to us through what? That's his word. He do it through a prophet. See? Amen. So, did you receive this message? Did you receive also the prophet? So you must also receive the revelation of who he is and who you are. And now the thing is, let's go for that. Because that is what my heart is just waiting for. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, my expectation and my hope is in Christ. Amen? Let me turn this page again here. It says, Colossians 1:5, it says, for the hope which is laid up to you in heaven, what is this laid up in heaven for me? Oh, I have a new body waiting for me. I have a body, a new body. It says, the hope which is laid up on you in heaven, it says, wherefore you heard before in the word of this truth of the gospel. So, it's not new to you. If you've been listening all these years, you know what we're talking about. See, Paul is saying, it's that hope that is laid up in heaven. Amen. That body, that change of a body that I'm looking forward. The revelation of Jesus Christ came to, and the mystery of Jesus, it's been revealed to us. So we need to pursue it. That is my hope, and that is my expectation, and that is my anticipation. And that's what I'm looking forward when I come to church. See, however, it's sad to say, but, well, let me say this. Let me read this one first. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon, you know this one, that is formed against thee shall what? The only thing that can prosper in you is the word of God. So stop being afraid, because Satan cannot prosper. He can tell you everything he wants to do to you and how he's going to do it, but he don't have the power to create that or to come in your life. He cannot prosper. And this is something that I rejoice on. I don't care what he throws at me. He will not prosper. Because the only thing that will prosper in me, it is his word. Because God has the power to change man. But Satan can't prosper. So stop listening at that guy. Lies and more lies. Because he cannot prosper. He don't have the power. The only power he has is the power of deception, illusion. And he will talk to you. And he knows you are son of God. That you have a spoken word also, you know, in your tongue. You have the power of life and death. And he says, if I get you to get this thought that I put in your mind, and you can make a word, now, look up. You got problems. There's only one thought that I always speak, and it's God's thoughts. Because if you ignore, if you, like the Bible says, resist that thought, and you never voice it, it never become word. So if it don't become word, it never happen. But God's word, I want to repeat it and say it until it happens. That's the word that I want to prosper in my life. But Satan cannot force me. Satan cannot make me do what he wants me to do. Because he don't have the power to prosper his own word. You hear me today? I know he's going to be mad anyway. So he can speak to your mind. He can give you thoughts. But tell him. So how are you going to bring it to pass? You can't. You cannot prosper. Nothing can prosper. Diseases cannot prosper. He can give you a cancer. He can give whatever. He cannot prosper that. Now, after saying that, there are negative expectations. This is positive, but there's also negative. Job. This is what happened to Job. Job 1:5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, his children, he's talking about. and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, I may be that my son have what? Why will he say that? You know what Brother Man says? If you know something that you don't like or something weak on you or you have a fault or you did something, don't let Satan know it. Let's say you're afraid or you have this. Come over there with an expectation. Good or bad, whatever it is. What you expected, you're going to have. He says, and that was a negative expectation. And if you have a negative expectation, don't say it. Because that's not you. Don't tell the devil. You don't agree with the devil. I'm sick. I have cancer. The doctor said, don't agree with him. I prefer to agree with the word of God that can prosper in my life than agreeing with that word. Oh, but you're lying. No, I'm not lying. Because God is not a liar. You know, God cannot lie. It's not a man that can lie. He says, and also, I remember that Brother Branham in a meeting, he was a man that was, you know, a mocker, scoffer. He was a critic, you know. And he wanted to prove that Brother Branham, all that thing was telepathy, that he can read people's minds about their own sickness and all that. You know, that's not so. So what happened? He said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to write a list of things that is wrong with me. It wasn't nothing wrong with him. But you see where I'm going with this? He wrote, this is what's wrong with me. This is my expectation when I get to you, that you heal me. And if you don't heal me, you're not a true prophet. See, that's what he wanted to prove. So he was completely, you know, healthy when he approached Brother Branham. But all the stuff he wrote, you know, he took it to Brother Branham. Brother Branham, you know what happened? You know how that ended. He left the pulpit with all those sickness. That's bad expectation. Brother Branham says one time, I don't know where, but I use three things. He says, if a man comes to the service, and a man or a woman is sitting there, and if he thinks he's going to have a heart attack, he's well. That's what Brother Branham said. But if he thinks there and thinks the whole time that he's going to have a heart attack, you know what? He will have it. Why? Expectation. Wherever you expect this morning, that is what's going to happen. So, again, what your faith is looking at and your expectation means a lot this morning. Amen. I had one more thing. You know, sometimes when we come to church, like I said, what is the expectation? Oh, well, I like the music. Oh, well, I like the fellowship. Oh, I like the potlucks. Whatever, you know. That's good expectations. But that's not the expectation that God is looking for. I mean, it's good to get together, to have potluck, to have a good music. Nothing wrong with all that. But that is not my expectation. Oh, he don't sing the song that I like. But if that's your expectation, but he didn't say what I was, or he said what something that he shouldn't. What is your expectation when we come to church? You know, as much as I love the sister potluck, you know, John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, my potluck, my food, my grub, my nourishment is to do the what? The will of him that sent me. I know you came to church because you wanted to do the will of God, right? That sent you, that chose you, predestined you. So this morning, you are sitting and you are feasting. Not in natural bread, potluck, and everything else, most of us alike, but you are feasting on that manna from heaven this morning. And that's what Jesus said. He, my meat is to do what? His will. See? And to finish, not only one time deal, we committed, you know, we started and we finished. But not you, because he said the one that started the work, it will what? Finish it. All you have to do is eat, drink, eat, drink, eat, drink. Push, push forward. Eat, drink, eat, drink. And at the end, oh, man, looking for that glorious end. All I have to do is eat and drink. Eat and drink. It's so, you know, one problem that we don't have in this message, you know, is like the problem that we have in the natural. When you eat too much, you get fat. You know, so all you guys should be fat spiritually. Not physically, but all this year, we're eating, drinking, eating, drinking, eating. Until this body, one of these days, we come. Change. That's my expectation, Sister Anna. To get to that point where I will drink the last thing and I will eat the last thing and pa, new body. What is your expectation this morning? I say, if I'm looking towards that, I will do anything in my power to make sure I get what I want. Some of you are that way in the natural. You won't stop. You will try. You even annoy people because you are so persistent. Why can't we do that for church?
Right.
When you want something that bad, you do it. If you want it that bad. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. See? We want to prosper. We want to prosper. So what are we looking at? What is our faith looking at? See, Brother Branham says over here, the eagle on her nest. Businessman, what about you? He says, one of these days you are going to leave your business. No matter how prosperous you are, and maybe you don't have a proper business, but you're doing well, you know. You got a house, maybe three houses and three Cadillacs, I don't know. You have a house, you have a place to eat, you got food in the table, you have a roof, you got clothes in your, you're doing well. You're not rich, but you're not poor, but you'll be doing good. See? And these are going to leave your business. No matter how prosperous you are, see? So no matter how prosperous or how not prosperous you are, you know, one of these days that's going to be over. Listen, you're not going to take it to heaven. So might as well use it. I was telling my wife this morning, I could have saved by now about $100,000 if I will save the money that I, not wasting, but the trip that I had taken throughout about 20 years, I drove everywhere. When I go home and I want to teach Tina, and I'm not saying this because I got money, I don't. But that's about the $2,000 to $4,000 trip every time I go. And if I go to Puerto Rico, I don't know the $1,000 for tickets, and I have to eat over there, and I have to sleep over there, and so on. These trips are not cheap. But I save enough to go every year. I'm glad that I have a little leftover, you know, that I can manage and I put it. So I can use it. So what I'm saying is this, that even though I could have saved all that money for later, like now, you know, when I'm old, I have some stash put away, but I decided that I wanted to use that money so I can enjoy my family. Why good is to prosper and you're not living the life? Solomon says, enjoy the fruit of your labors. Oh, no, I'll just put all this away. And then the guy said, he built big granaries, elevators, and he put all the grain. And he says, now my heart is content. I put all this away, and I can live here for the rest of my life. I don't have to do one more thing. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy. So what happened that night? The angel of death came and said, your life is what? Request. So who are you going to enjoy all that grain and all that labor of his hand? Somebody else. But the man says, no matter how prosperous you are going to leave that business. Every penny you made will be scattered among your relatives. Your relative. And I will, and it will be fussing, fighting, carrying on, you know, splitting the inheritance. Then how much treasure have you got yonder in heaven? Whatever your heart is, that's your treasure. Where is your heart this morning? In heavenly places? in Christ Jesus, expecting, accomplishing, looking forward, or we are too busy, busy, busy. Like this guy, he said, then the most treasure have got up yonder in heaven. What do you know about Christ? See? Not how much do you know about business. He's talking to the business people. Some of you are invest money, you know. What do you know about Christ? So, do you just know him as a blesser? Blesses your soul? Remember, the rain falls in the just and the unjust alike. But I mean, do you know Christ? Somebody said this morning, seek his blessings. As they were singing a song. I think that's the song. One of them says, then after Brother Luke finished, he says, seek his blessings. So are you this morning seeking his blessings? I'm going to tell you what that blessing I'm going to give you. I'm almost finished. I'm going to give you an example. David. David, a man after God's own heart. Let's go to Psalm 1:1. And we go to, it's about 3 or 4 verses in David. It says, there's 4 characters here. Well, there's 3 characters. The 4:1, I might leave it for tonight. But there's 3 characters. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So this guy is walking. Interesting. Nor standeth he, another one walk, one stand in the way of the sinners. One walk, one stand, and the last one seated in the sea of the scornful. So the first one, he walks in his own counsel. He leaning in his own understanding. And what David is trying to say, avoid, see, blessed is the man that not. So, Brother Branham asked the question, do you know the blessed Christ? So I'm going to tell you what a blessed Christ is in David. And it could be in our life. He says, this guy walked, he said, in his own counsel, you know. He was his own God. He don't take from God anything. He's not a religious man. He don't care about praying. He don't care about repenting. He don't care about religious people that come to him and talk to him. He don't care. He's an ungodly guy. Nevertheless, he's rich. He's prosperous. See? But he says over here that he, even though he wasn't evil, they don't have to be evil. I know a lot of people that are in this situation. They walk in their own counsel, in their own ideas. They are the same God. They got a plan. They know how to execute it. They have a focal point in life, and it's not God and his word. But they're not evil people. In fact, this guy maybe is a good husband. And maybe this guy has good children. And maybe he has a good reputation in the community, at school. Even people at work like him. The only thing that he didn't like religion, he didn't like to be talked about God, he didn't like any. Because he wasn't, that don't mean that the guy was, you know, evil, wicked. But the thing is that blessed is the man that avoid your people. Don't get counsel for people that don't believe in God. Because as soon as you have a counsel, you know what he tell you? I did it my way, and I'm going to show you the way you need to do it. And that I'm going to include God in the counsel. You know what he's going to tell you? Work hard, save money. And don't care who you have to step on, just to make your way up. See? Don't trust anybody but yourself. See, this is a guy, the counsel don't come from the Bible. Not a bad guy. Nice guy. My boss is a nice guy. And nice as it is, I don't need his counsel. Because I know where he's coming from already. See? So, that's the first one. Don't walk. Now, and he probably paid his due to society and paid taxes, and he won't cheat on the taxes and, you know, leave for information in or add some more, you know, like I was saying, you know, I should add my 2 dogs to my income tax. I'm feeding them. They're sleeping at home. And
I'm not taking care of them. I just put their name. They don't know who they are. The IRS is not going to send me a letter. Are these children? Are you a robot? Can you check to see if you are a robot or you are a dog? They're not going to do that. But I won't do that. But, you know, I could get away with all kinds of things. But this guy wouldn't. I mean, as wicked, he wasn't a wicked man or evil man. He would not do that. He would pay due to whoever due he belongs to. But he don't want nothing to do with God. The second one, he said, he's seated. So this is the one that stands in the way of sinners. Now, before I go to this one, let me read Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord. So the guy that walks in his own counsel, he won't trust in the Lord. But you and I, we trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Yes. See? And lean not unto thy own understanding. The second one is stand. So standing, that means that he was a sinner. According to this iniquity, transgression, he transgressed the law. Because he's standing in his own laws. He's standing in his own ways also. But he breaks it. Transgression is you break the law. So he don't care what to do. As long as he can prosper. And he said, this guy, even though he's standing, but he's standing in the wrong ways, see? In the way of sinners, says, don't do that, see? We got to make a choice. Young people, we got to make a choice. We all, and not so young people, we got to make a choice. Are we standing for this message? Are we standing for God? Are we standing for what we know or not? Because remember, either one or the other one, evil or peace. We got to make a choice. This guy would not make a choice. But the choice he made was to stand with sinners. You know, that's his standing that he took. And we see him over here. He says, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity, and you know what iniquity is, knowing what to do right and not doing it. So that's why this guy's standing. See, he knew what to do right. He says, but that already worked. And he who knows, let it, will let, until he be taken out of the way. See? So this guy, you know, he just decided he was going to stand on his own 2 feet. And he was going to do whatever he takes just to prosper, to be blessed. You know? You and I choose the blessings of God. These two guys are choosing whatever they can get blessed doing other things, not through God and not to the Bible, not to the Word of God. Now, the third one, it says a scornful. Now, he's a mocker. Now, he's turning salvation in ridicule. Sometimes, even in this message, we're turning this message into what it's not, you know, believing tangents that, you know, people, that's what people right now, you know, people look at this message from the outside. And they put us as part of a cult. Why? Because the way some other people have treated this message are bringing shame into it, reproach, mockery. You know, the other day, it was a journalist. She was a reporter, a writer from a newspaper. I don't know. I heard this. And he went to this church to talk to this pastor. Because she singled out this pastor as this is the pastor that is. But they told her, you know, this pastor will tell you the truth. He wouldn't lie to you. So if you're going to ask something about this message, go to him. Anyway, what she was looking for was that she heard the atrocities that have been happening in the message. You know, people that was dying during the pandemic and the atrocity. Because for some reason, this stuff is in the internet. I haven't read it, and I don't care to read it. It's just in the internet. Some people got together to write all the things that are happening in certain church. So the reporters got a whip to that thing, and she wanted to interview to see. But you know what happened after she interviewed and interviewed the pastor? It doesn't matter what was said. The thing is that you and I, when they look at us and we say we are identified with Brother Branham's message, they will look at you the same way that they looked at that. Not mentioning
anything. I'm just saying, some people will be reproached. You cannot be successful trying to preach this message if we're not living it in front of the people at work, at school. How can you tell somebody, you know, God loves you when you are, you know, we are not, you know, responsible to do what we said we believe? See, because they are listening. People are listening and they say, well, what a minute, you told me that stealing was wrong. What are you doing now? Oh, it's just a pencil that I got from the teacher. Well, so this guy is standing. The last one we have, he's seated. See? He's seated because he decided that he's going to sit wherever he wants to sit. So one time he came and sat over here. See? But they come over here to sit to what? He says the Bible here. Let me read it again. He says, not seated on the seat of the scornful. He said to what? To criticize. And we have some of those in our life. So they leave this church and they go and sit in another church. And you know what? They do the same thing they did here.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't want to be like those. See? We want to be committed. If you pray and God told you this is the church you wanted to come and Brother Doug will be my pastor, then do what you said. Now, there's some things that you might don't like. There's a few things that I don't like, but that's my preference. It's not like it's in the Bible. But I'm not going to let that, you know, bring anything animosity in between and criticize because it's not done my way. How do I know that my way is right? It wasn't right before. Why do you think it's going to be right now? So this guy goes from church to church. He sits in one church. He mocks. He criticized the pastor, he criticized the congregation, he do this and that, then he leave and he sees someplace else. And never change. And God says, that's an abomination. Those are going around, you know, sowing discord among what? Churches and brothers, sisters. So don't do that, young people. The Bible says it had nothing to do with these three guys. Witness to them, they might don't like you, and they might you have to suffer, but that doesn't matter. You stay true to the Lord. Amen. Stay true to the Lord. So, Psalm, almost there. Dangerous, yeah. So, the second verse says, but he delight. First, he reject all these guys, all these influences, the negative things. You know, he not want to sit, he don't want to walk, and he don't want to stand with these guys. No? Stay away from these guys. They are not your friends. Satan wasn't a friend either. When he beguiled Eve, that wasn't a friend thing to do. Anyway, let me not go back that way. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, you delight in the word of God. You don't delight in whatever, you know, this guy think, the other guy think. You delight yourself in that word. He said, and he and his law doth meditate day and night. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections. What he's saying, David's saying, set your heart, your whole heart, he says, in the things where? Above. Not in the things of what? Earth. Satan wants to bring you down to earth, but you know, I'm on my way up. You think I want to go back? I don't want to go back. Yeah, we sung that song. I'm already climbing up. I'm claiming that I'm so far, yeah, closer than I was when I started 40 years ago. You think I have some time to go back and start all over again? Just make your choice, make your decision, and stick with it. And if you made a mistake, I will just train you out. Don't worry about it. This is not your plan. This is not your design. This is God's design. So we're going to make mistakes? Sure. Errors? Sure. Choices? Wrong choices? Sure. But we're not going to make it intentionally. Just let God. Let go. God will take out the rest. But choose. Choose Him. Above all things.
Colossians, set your affection and heart in things above, not in things of this earth. You know? And then he says here that he will, David is talking about, to set your desire and your affections in every, and your intentions and your interests, you know, all your heart in God's sight, in that focus on his word. And then David is saying that this, that he loved and obeyed the commandments of God. He delighted himself in the law. He bring his body to subjection to that word. But what good is have the word if we can bring our body to subjection to the word? Make the body obey. He gives you the power to do that. You don't have to do it yourself. Obey. He looked to the perfect law. We look to the message. And that's it. If he says it, we do it. We look to the word. If he says it, we do it. If no, we don't. That is our standard. When Satan comes like a flood, raising a standard of living, a standard of everything. You are the right father, the right mother, the right children. You are the standard, not the world out there. Because you're following God's steps. It says, looking at the perfect law of freedom, he do not forget what he hears, but he do what he hears. And that's what David is saying. He's saying that he meditates. He feeds on the word. Not occasionally, well, you know, I feel like I'm too tired. No, he feeds on this word and what he has heard also every day. So when you leave here, you're going to start meditating on what God has spoke to you, not me. What God has spoke to you, meditate on that. Don't let it fall to the ground. Like he said, Joshua, don't let the word fall left or right or to the ground. Don't let it fall. Meditate day and night on that word. And I shall prosper your ways. See? So therefore, no wonder David said, blessed is him, you know, that grows and prosper, you know, thereby to perfection. Amen? Now, what do we need to prosper? What do we need to know these things? Because the last end, the last verse says, and he shall be like a tree planted. A tree is like a man, you know, a woman. It's an illustration. It's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And water is the word. What is the water that flows, you know? The fountain of water that flows from within, you know. The water, God is just right now, you know, giving you whatever you need. You're not thirsting only for righteousness. See, he's feeding. Waters are coming out. He said, planted by the rivers of water. Now, the rivers are many rivers because from the pulpit, it can go any direction. You got different needs. This water going out, you don't have to drink it all because you're going to die. You're going to drown yourself. But you have something. I mean, even if it's a drop of water this morning that get to you, that's all you need. God knows what you need. And some of us will drink until almost we pass out. That's okay. Just drink of this word. And it says, planted like a river of water. Now, water is just one, single, but rivers are many. See, the water starts here and goes everywhere. Okay? The brightness that brings forward is what? His fruit in his season. So that's why you need to prosper. Because as you prosper in due season, this word will produce in you what it's sent to do, to accomplish. But you have to be faithful. See? In due season, everything is in due season for God. It says, his leaves also shall not what? Wither. What we know what leaves means in the tree. Fellowship. Yeah, you got it right. It's fellowship. You know, if you see someone that don't want to have fellowship, it's because they wither. They need water. You know, you take a plant at home. My wife has a bunch of plants. Some are like dying, or some are dry, and she just go with a bottle, and then not me. I'm not a flower. You know, she sprayed my face. Vaya, but you look like you need some water. Okay, so anyway, you know, we need water. Oh, but I can drink at home. You might can drink a little drop of water. You can reach your Bible. You can pray. But there's more water here than at home. Because you only can chase 1,000. But here we can chase 1,000,000 by now. We took and chase 10,000. Now we can. There's more water here than there. And the water that you cannot get, you can get it here because we share. Our body is to come and edify each other. See? The brightness from, and then bring us its fruit. So the word has the word of God in due season, as you water, you know, the word, it will bring forward, you know, and it says its fruits. What is the fruit? The fruit is you shall know him by the fruit. So I know if you believe because I can see what you're doing. So your life has to match what you believe. But in due season, God will bring your body to subjection to that word. See? He said, and also shall not wither. So there are some people that want fellowship. You know, according to here, David said, if you are growing and you are prospering, you want to have fellowship. We want another. And whatsoever he does do, he will do what? Prosper. Don't we have this one? Psalm 1:3? I don't know what happened. Maybe I took too long. And he does shall what? Prosper. So David was talking about this. Listen, in closing. John 15:8. Why do we need to prosper? Why do we need to be, you know, our faith looking towards that end? Here is my Father glorified. Do you want to glorify the Father? Well, that's the only intention you came to church, right? Not for me. I'm not the sharper tool, the best preacher in town. Here is my Father glorified. That you do what? Bear. So if this word is not producing, then there's a problem. See, bear much fruits. So you shall be my what? So if we claim to be his disciple, then I will ask you, where's the fruits? Where's the life of that you're preaching? Where's the life? The fruits. Glorification. You know, Jesus said before he left in John 17:17, he says, he said, glorify me with the same glory that we had before the foundation of the world. The whole purpose of him was to be glorified. Now, remember what he says at the beginning. That's at the end. But at the beginning, he says, in John 1:14, he says, well, the word became, you know, the verb is what he says in mind. It became, you know, the word became, you know what, John 1:1. Anyway. So that's the one I want to do. But I want to tell you that he dwells, he said, and the flesh, oh, don't take it away. I read it from here. And the word was made flesh and dwell among us. You and I have been born again. Not of the flesh, but we have been born of the spirit. And we beheld his glory. See, now he's saying, glorify me with the same glory that I had before the foundation of the world. That's what I was. Glory. And we saw that glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory. I told you the whole theme, the whole preaching, the whole scope is glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. You are here because you want to be glorified. You want to glorify him. But how do you glorify him? Slowly. By having his character. Slowly. Glory by glory by glory. And we prosper to the point that one day we are going to be glorified. That's what the Bible said, predestined. Glorify. We are going to completely have his character. But it's going to be a process. And we are going to prosper to that. We are prospering to. He says, John, glorify me with the glorify thy son. And he said, Numbers 14. It's not in the notes. Will you look that for me, please? Numbers 14:22. There was a reason that God sent a prophet. Because This is talking about Moses first. Because all those men which have seen my glory, we have seen his glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, which I did in Tucson, and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. God has sent a prophet, and we saw his glory. And some people haven't hearkened. And the only reason he sent his prophet and brought it all the way so we can see his glory is for you and I. If he's the first fruit, there's more fruit coming. We had to have fruit. Why? We want to see God glorified in our lives. And we have a prophet that God has sent for that purpose, just like Moses was sent for that purpose. They saw the miracles. They saw the water coming out of the rock. They saw that bitter water turning into sweet water. They saw all these miracles. They saw the manna. Where are they now? Look at preaching things like the return of Brother Branham. We don't need the preachers anymore. I mean, my goodness, after all that we have seen and we have heard, now we are just going, see, they tempted God with these things. But you and I, we're going to stand fast. We're going to stay with the word. We're going to stay with our pastor. We're going to stay because we want to glorify him. That's what he wanted. Jesus glorified him. Moses says the same thing. God says the same thing to Moses. They did not glorify me after they saw all these things. Now we get at the end, after we have seen, we have heard, and we have done. How many want to glorify God in your body? Prospering. The end of prospering is fruits. And the fruit is to glorify the Father. Can we stand? How many like to prosper today? Listen. We need to move forward. We need to have an expectation. We need to know where we're going. God will do the rest. Amen. You know, I'm not going to try anything. What is Lucas? Come on, Lucas, you're slow. Let us bow our head and pray until he gets here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again. Thank you. I thank you for sustaining me and maintaining me standing in this pulpit from beginning to end. You are the one that, you are my strength. You are the one that sustained me, maintained me. Father, if it wasn't for you, I could not stand behind this pulpit, Father. Because I'm not sufficient. In this flesh, I'm nothing. But I'm glad, Father, that you will bring your word to pass. You gave us promises, Father, we're standing on them, and you will bring them to pass. You will accomplish that you have spoken about me and about all of us, about your little bride. Oh, the little bride, Father, the Bible says that for the joy, you went to the cross for the joy that was put before you. That was the little bride. And if that was the joy and the love, what about us? What is our joy and what is our love? If it's not looking unto you, the one that set us free, the one that saved us, the one that healed us, the one that kept us, the one that provided for us, for that love that you have for us, for you so loved the world, that love, we're looking at the same thing. You were looking for the joy of this love. We're looking for the joy of your love this morning, that you have done all these things. Father, we want to stand. We want to follow you. We don't want to move left or right. We want to go forward. We want to have the right expectation so we can receive the end of our faith. That is you living in us, Father. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for this congregation. Be with our pastor, Father. As he has to bring the word, use him mightily, Father. Bless him. Bless the people. Bring it back home safe, Father. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for those that came.
Thank you, Father, for the Sunday schools and the teacher, everything that you have put in this church. So your work will prosper, go forward. Because we are not doing this thing just because we don't have nothing else to do, or because everybody else is doing. No. Everything that we are doing is just to prosper your kingdom. And what is the kingdom at? The Bible said the kingdom is in your heart. So if the kingdom is going to prosper, you are the one we're talking about that is going to prosper. Kings and priests, you already are. He made you king. He didn't say he's going to make you. He said he already made you kings and priests. You just have to walk into that. Every day meditate, every day read, every day pray. Walk into it like Enoch did. He walked into that word. Why? He believed it. He walked forward. His ambition was that, and you made it possible. Father, we thank you this morning. I know that Paul says in Ephesians, he says that you will have a bride without spot and without wrinkles. Father, this walk is producing a bride that is never and never will be corrupted thereon. Because she got corrupted in the garden, was deceived, and Satan corrupted the flesh. You did not intend for us to come this way. But you had a plan even before it happens. And the plan is now that when we come to the end of our journey, we will have no spot and no wrinkles. We will be virtuous, holy, because you have accomplished your plan in our life to make us worthy of your gospel, Father. We thank you and we love you, and we ask you to continue, Father. We're going to be departing from each other, but let your presence go with us wherever we go. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your love and your kindness. Thank you for your loving kindness and your care, Father. We love you, Lord. And we ask you to forgive us, for we falter, when we make mistakes, when we make wrong choices. It's not intentional, Lord, but thank you. Because we know that if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us and clean us of all unrighteousness. We thank you, and thank you, and thank you. And there's not enough time in here to thank you, Lord, but you have been so good to us. I cannot complain. I will not complain. I have never had it better in my life until I met you. You was the best thing that I had done in my life. And I love you for that, Lord. Again, we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ.